Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. This is Cindy Freeman, your host on Purpose Talk Radio. And today is a Friday the 13th. And I'll be real honest, it didn't affect me. It didn't mean anything to me. And somehow somebody reminded me and I went, oh, okay. So although maybe that's why some other things are going so weird. Who knows? Depends on what you think of that and what you don't. So today we are going to be talking about living beyond the bubble of possibility or living outside your bubble, whatever you want to call it, with our guest, Jeff Akins Hannah, and we're waiting for him to call in via Skype. I had delayed and problems getting in, so maybe he is too. Hopefully not. And it looked like he was on before, but then it disappeared. So hopefully everything will get resolved and he'll be able to call back in. So the song you heard at the beginning of the show is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity, being the vocalist, Julian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself on that song. Actually, I'm sorry, she now goes by Rachel Grace. I have to correct that and correct myself on that. You know, it's fairly new, so sometimes we don't get the change of names and things and how life serves us best by a name. Funny thing, when I was in college, I, changed my name every semester just because I wanted to do that. Basically what it was doing was changing the spelling of Cindy, going to the formal Cynthia. And it was actually only in my bylines and only with my journalism teachers. I didn't do it with anybody else because I figured that would confuse them too much and would confuse the records for the school and everything else like that. Don't want to mess with your grades or financial aid or any of those things. So I couldn't exactly have fun with the name for them. But that's okay. I was able to do it in the classes where I needed to be creative, which were my journalism classes. So let's see. What else do I want to tell you while we're doing this? Well, every week we try to bring you a different guest. Sometimes we overlap with the same guest. Like next week we will have a guest that we've had before, being Krista Bell. And each week we bring you different guests who are living their purpose, whatever that might mean. From it could be shoveling snow and cutting grass to being the CEO of a billion-dollar company. It does not matter. Whoever is living their purpose and would like to share that with the world, I'd love to have you be a part of this show as a guest. Now, it's really not tough. We just do a little interview and say, how did you have your purpose? How did you come to know it? All that kind of stuff. But you'll hear in just a little bit from Jeff, because it looks like he is back on the line, hopefully. And the other thing is, if you have products or services that you'd like to provide to people who are living their purpose or wanting to live their purpose, we do have a marketing package for you as well. So having on, okay, and if you'd like to participate in this show, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. The first would be to scroll down to the very bottom of the Purpose Talk Radio show page. And there is, hopefully if it opened properly, a chat room there that you can comment on and be a part of the show. Just type in what you've got to say to us, and we'll respond to that, or just if you have questions or comments. We would prefer, however, that you call the show. If you call in, that number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Or you can Skype in with the icon right next to the phone number on the top of the show page. And either way, if you want to talk to us, please press the number 1 so that I know you are on the line and wanting to speak. Otherwise, I'll presume that you're just listening today, and that is perfectly fine as well. Or I may just check in with you and see how you're doing on that if you wanted to talk and you just forgot to press the 1. And the other way is to go over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group on Facebook. And there is a, or will be soon, a post at the very top of the page about anything that you may want regarding this show. We put comments in there periodically, and hopefully our guests go back to those to see if there are any questions for anyone who might listen to the show in archive and want to be a part of the question and answer. So I will bring on our guests and chat a little bit and then tell you a little bit in detail about who this is and how maybe we got connected before we talk about purpose, because in reality, you know, life is interesting on how people connect, when they connect, and all that fun stuff. So welcome, Jeff. I hope that you, and it could be your wife, Jen, on that line, too. I'm not sure. Are you there? I am not hearing anything.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go. I wonder, my phone is apparently only going to allow me to speak on speaker, which is interesting. Hard to hear.
Can you hear me there?
I can now. But, you know, I don't very often get to talk to somebody that's actually in the Midwest.
No?
Because we go pretty much, you know, national and international on it. But welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Are you one of these folks, somebody reminded me that it's Friday the 13th, are you someone who pays attention to that or feels like it affects your life at all, or is it just another day in the life of Jeff?
It's just another day. Take it as it comes.
Cool. I know you get to work with kids a lot, and that's probably a good attitude to give them. Just, you know, whatever happens, roll with it. Or blow bubbles in your case.
Exactly. Well, parenting has really taught that to me too. You know, as a relatively new parent, I've learned, while I'm continuously learning, you kind of have to go with the flow. Great little teachers they are.
Ah, yes. Well, okay, I would like to give you folks a little bit more detail about who this man is that I'm talking to on the other phone, the other line anyway, and that is if the page decided it didn't want to jump, which it did. Technology is fun, and sometimes you got to put a whole bunch of extra windows open in order to make it do exactly what you want to do. So actually what I'll do is I'll back up just a little bit. The funny part about this is, you know, I was talking about how people meet and when they meet and things like that. And originally I was supposed to be on, or I thought I was supposed to be on, a trip with Jeff and his now wife, Jen, going to Cambodia and Bali many, many years ago, or it seems like many years ago, but now it's, what, like 7, 8? Whatever it is.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, and, you know, we would have connected through our mutual friend Janice Stanfield, which I talk about often on this show, and her songs, If I Were Brave, especially. Mm-hmm. It keeps me going every day. For some reason, the financial situation for me didn't align to go on that trip. originally, and yet I felt like there was a drawing and a calling to the Cambodia part, which actually was part of the trip and then got canceled out of it, which was interesting. And I think maybe that was part of why I didn't go, because it was getting to be too cumbersome to go on my own, or it wasn't safe. I don't know. Maybe it was safe, but I was going to find a dream and stay over there. You never know. But then I met both of them individually at the Posse Awards that I went to that following January. So we got to meet anyway and connect, which was cool. And I guess, how long have you been coming to the zoo out here and doing shows?
Oh, it's probably going to be going on the fifth or sixth year.
Okay, so about that same time then is kind of when you started here. And it was funny because, like, the first year, I just kind of happened to be scrolling the schedule and went, oh, my gosh, I know him. I know him as a pummel man and doing shows out in the Milwaukee County Zoo out here. So it's not have even thought of that for me as an adult. You know, and I want to talk about that being, you know, every age of your shows. But it's pretty cool how that all still weaves its way and whatever is meant to be happens and finds its way to happen anyway.
Exactly. You know?
But Jeff Akins Hannah has been living his life in and around bubbles, as we were talking, for a long time. Yet, as far as I say, he hasn't allowed the constraints of him to rule his idea of possibility. He's been entertaining, educating children of all ages worldwide for more than 30 years with his gentle spirit, sense of humor, and gift of rapport. Inspired by his life-altering experience as a teacher in Waldorf and special education, he created the Bubble Wonders Show to convey the message that anything is possible. Bubble Wonders is fun, inspiring, educational, and captivates both children and adults, or I just say children of any age, as I've been drawn into it. It is full of amazing bubble tricks, including a bubble caterpillar, the volcano, the dancing bubble, the bubble inside a bubble, the kid in a bottle, and more. And the biggest one, and anyone who's looked at the picture that's gone to this show has also been able to see, is a square bubble. Which is, most people say, is impossible. But as Jeff proved, it is not. His wife has now written the theme song for that show, or for his shows as well. Which I don't know if we're going to be able to hear that or not yet. I wasn't able to pull that in. I don't know if you had sent that, Jeff, or not.
I'll see
if we can still try and do that somewhere in the show, if it'll let me upload it.
Okay.
But throughout the bubble shows, that theme runs with all of Jeff's magical bubbles, maybe, or intrigue, as well as, you know, around the world on his websites. And as he makes a square bubble, he intentionally, I shouldn't tell you that. Let's just say it doesn't always work perfectly as you plan. There we go.
Right.
So, in the world of ever-decreasing action as it spans, Jeff's able to use the wonder of bubbles, magic storytelling to capture and redirect the kids' attention. Because sometimes kids just don't want to pay attention. They want to go off in the other way. They want to go run up to the stage. They want to do all that. And I've seen firsthand how...
Still there?
You know, rekindle that idea of being a child and the wonderment in all of us. In addition to presenting a thousand... have to love technology. I lost myself on my own show. That is not cool. Not cool at all. So I'm hoping Jeff is still around there as I left the line open.
Can you hear me?
You're still there, Jeff.
I'm here, but I lost it. Like, I didn't hear anything for a couple of minutes.
Nope, you didn't, because my phone decided it wanted to disconnect, and I could not get back in.
Okay.
Joys of technology, like I said. So I will finish. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I sent you Anything as Possible, so hopefully
Excellent.
You get that.
Yeah, I'll try and put that in there. And then we'll, as I'll let you talk a little bit here outside of the introduction. If you happen to lose me again, just feel free to share what spirit decides to lead for you. Because you'll probably still be on. Anyway, so let's, you know, you've been around the world, so to speak, with your shows. And
yes.
I typically ask all of my guests before they get into the heavy duty of, you know, more of these details. Was there any defining moment in your life where you said, hey, this is what I am meant to do, and this is what I'm going to do in this phase of it? You know, we can go through some of the other phases
sure.
of your life as well. But this most recent one, was there some defining moment that said, hey, here it is?
Well, there were a couple little hints along the way. The one example that I share most often is how the whole thing began. I come from a background of performance. You know, I was a magician for many years, and juggler, and storyteller, and puppeteer. And one summer, I was working in a summer program for children with special needs, and I was working in the preschool section of this program. And I was captivated by a young boy on the autism spectrum. I had never met a child like this before, and I was really curious about his behaviors, and I was trying to learn his patterns. But he wouldn't interact with any of us, any of the kids or any of the staff. But I just kept my eye on him. I was just really intrigued. And one day I was organizing this cabinet full of games and toys and puzzles and things, and up there I found a little bottle of bubbles. And my own inner child came out. I'm pretty much in touch with my own inner child, and I give it free rein whenever possible. And so I reach up and I grab these bubbles, and then sort of like the inner critic, the inner adult, rose up at me and said, oh, you can't play. You're supposed to be working. So I looked around and made sure no one was watching me because I was embarrassed. And I turned away from the class, and I opened up the bottle and just blew a bubble or two for my own inner joy. And after a moment, I felt that sense of being watched, you know, the hair on the back of the neck feeling. And so I turned around, and here was this young boy. He had actually broken his routine, which was the first time I saw that happen. He stopped doing what he was doing to come over to see what I was doing with the bubbles. And I wasn't sure what to do, so I just kept blowing bubbles for as long as he was engaged, just so grateful for that connection between the two of us. And it just, he was just so captivated by these bubbles. I actually saw his eyes for the first and only time because he was looking at the bubble wand in my hand, so I could kind of direct his attention by moving the bubble wand. And after that little experience, all I could think of is, what else could I have done with those bubbles to lengthen the period of time that he allowed me into his world? And that was sort of one of those little epiphanies, like, oh, there's something to this. This is a possibility that I'd like to explore. How could I use bubbles as a way to create these little moments of wonder and joy and learning with my students?
Cool. Always bringing up a child that attracts whoever's attention then in it. That's neat.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that?
That was probably close to 11 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And from that then, were you able to keep that child's attention? Did you see him after the summer at all or since then?
Well, here's what happened. The relationship between us grew. I didn't do too much more with the bubbles because I didn't know what else to do with the bubbles for that specific child. I mean, he always asked me when I do the bubbles. No, I'm still here. I'm here. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Cindy, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I am not hearing anything.
I can hear you.
I've lost Jeff, or if we've lost me, or if we've just lost the connection on the phone. And I hope I'm not talking over him. Okay, well, it seems I've lost Jeff, so hopefully I can still be heard, and don't know if anybody's there or not. Okay, and someone who was in the chat room said they were able to hear both of us, but I have lost Jeff at the moment, and hopefully he will call back in then. Don't know what happened with the system, but as long as everybody's hearing us, that's a real good thing. So what I want to do then, while we're waiting for him to get back on, is have those of you who are listening think of those times when maybe you allowed that inner child of yourself to play with bubbles or throw the frisbee or squirt guns. Those are fun ones that are childlike, and yet somehow as adults we get away with them, especially if we are playing with them with a child. If, you know, that child brings out a little more of the inner child, then it's always happy. And, you know, I think it's funny if that child is alone, if we don't have another child to play with, then sometimes, you know, we feel embarrassed, like Jeff said he ended up doing. You know, there's an embarrassment about just letting go and just being open to whatever might happen. Yes, our friend Joy typed into one of the chat spaces that her inner child, who is a brat, is always with her, and she plays daily with that. Which is cool. Aha, we have Jeff back. Let's try this again. We'll bring you back on the air. Do we have you? Okay, I hear you now.
Good.
I might have to wonder if there really is something that Friday the 13th thing or a full moon or whatever it is. Cause enough to be silly.
Yeah.
And the good part is, you know, we just try not to have dead air.
Exactly.
And get to play in the process,
right,
and laugh at whatever does happen. So, okay, so let's try again. Did you end up seeing that child again, or
what I started to say before the connection disconnected was what I started to do is just becoming more and more aware of this child. So, for instance, I noticed he had some anxiety when his mom would drop him off every day, as some children do. And I would watch him. He would be upset, and then when she finally left, he would run across the room and climb up on this bookcase so he could see out the window as his mom drove away. And the teacher didn't like that and would tell him to get down. So what I did is I would stand by that bookcase, and when he would come running over there, I would nudge with my foot this little box right next to the bookcase so he could stand up on it safely and look out the window. So I was helping him, and the teacher was okay with that. So we started this little relationship where he would allow me to do certain things that he wouldn't let other people do. One day I was down on the floor watching him play with his trains, which is his favorite thing. And he had a very specific order that the trains would go in. And just to play around, to test it, I grabbed one of the trains and connected it out of order. And he pulled it off the track and set it down. And then he picked up the right one and he gave it to me and let me connect it.
Wow.
So he let me in, you know? And that was just this really sweet moment. And so asking that question, what else could I do with bubbles? What else could I do to bridge this connection to somebody who I had assumed was not somebody that I was going to be able to connect with? Asking those sorts of questions have turned into a full-time calling.
You know, and people would think that wandering around the world with bubbles exactly would not really make a livelihood, would not be able to attract most people. But it's more than just a bottle of, you know, soap bubbles at this point that you've turned it into.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you get to expand that into more than just a little wand and the idea of, you know, here's this thing I'm going to blow my wind through and see what happens?
Sure. Well, I think life, our purpose, our calling, I think it's sometimes an amalgamation. It's this coming together of these different interests or powers or strengths or gifts that we have, and they converge in some new way never before seen. So for me, it was my love of teaching, my love of entertaining, and my love of whatever you want to call it, spirituality, personal development. You know, so early on when I started doing school assemblies, I was told by other professional school entertainers, you can't have a program that is only entertaining. It has to have some kind of educational content. And so I build the show as a science show and quickly realized that my heart just wasn't in it, because the science behind the bubbles, while it's interesting, it didn't have any juice there for me. I wasn't excited about sharing the science behind it. I found myself talking about using those little mistakes that happened when the bubbles popped, and I would just, you know, share some kind of message about how it's okay, go with the flow, you know, things happen, you just have to keep trying. And the more and more that I went in that direction and shared these things I'm personally excited about, persistence and following your dreams and possibilities, then the show just took on a life of its own. The people that were hiring me and the students and staff, they felt the excitement because I was being true. I was being authentic, and that comes across in a very powerful way. And then when I started turning it more and more outward, where it became about trying to inspire the audience to figure out what their purpose, what their dreams might be, it just took off. It just took off. It became such a hot item, like schools wanted it. Anytime I did a television appearance, it would lead to more schools and libraries and museums and theaters calling me, because there was this element. Somebody once said, what I do is so valuable because it's not empty entertainment. And we've got plenty of empty entertainment, things that we've all seen before. You know, a lot of TV is empty entertainment. But this show has some heart and soul to it. People leave feeling uplifted and inspired.
So where did you start? Was it in the Illinois area, or were you somewhere else when you started them?
Well, yeah, I've always lived in the Midwest. So when this all began, I was living in Illinois, correct?
Okay. And then you're able to expand this into worldwide tour at this point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, early on, when I was still working as a teacher's assistant in special ed, I was developing the show as I was going along while I was working, and I received an offer to go and perform at a science museum in Israel. I had to take a leave of absence from my teaching position in order to travel out of the country for 3 weeks. And
wow,
that blew my mind. I had never been out of the country before. So here I was going to another country and doing something that I really love to do. And so my mind was kind of blown, and I came back thinking, I think that I have to pursue this. I think I have to find out if I could really do this full time, because I was just so excited and I felt so alive doing it. So then the question became, can I support myself doing this?
You know? Right.
Yeah.
And then at what point did you decide exactly that you could support yourself and do what you love? I mean, yes, I'm sure it sounds like you love teaching and you love getting through to those students.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's the part that would be considered a more lucrative, well, in some cases, lucrative profession.
Right.
I know that, you know, but that would be the one that would pay the bills, so to speak. So at what point did you say, okay, that's enough of that, and I'm just going to follow this dream, follow this bubble of a dream?
Well, a couple things happened. One, I had applied for and had won a scholarship to go back to earn my master's in special education. But when it came time to actually sign off on the contract and accept the scholarship, I had a full-blown panic attack and said, I need some time to think about this, and decided I can't. Now, I already had a taste of performing. I had a taste of actually traveling to do this and how it made me feel so alive. And I eventually just turned down the scholarship. I decided that's not the direction I want to go in. As much as I love teaching, I felt my performing took the best parts of teaching and allowed me to do with it what I really wanted, which was to inspire the students full time. So one was sort of turning away from teaching in that regard by turning down the scholarship. And then, of course, the other half was, but can I get enough business? Can I generate enough business to fully support myself? Because, at that time with teaching, I had a paycheck 12 months a year. I had benefits and days off and medical, insurance, things like that. So I basically did what a friend of mine calls the slide of faith. And rather than the leap of faith, it's the slide of faith. I just kept booking shows whenever I could and kind of honed the show, got the show going. And as that started to build up some reputation for me, the new school year had started in August. And by October, I had used up all my vacation days, and sick days, and personal days going out to perform at all these different schools and libraries. So my supervisor came and basically said, you're at a crossroads. You have to make a decision. You have no more time left to leave work anymore. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay or are you going to go? And then, bless her heart, she kind of nodded and said, for what it's worth, some people search their whole life and never figure out what they really want to do. And I think you found it. And so I did. I took a leap of faith. I mean, the slide of faith was, I didn't just jump out. I waited I couldn't. I had to make a decision. And then there was a leap of faith because then I did. I left my job thinking I could always go back. There's always going to be a need for teachers, especially guys. And I could always go back if I wanted to, but I don't want to live with regrets. I would rather take a chance and fail than have to look back at my life when it was too late and say, oh, I wish I would have tried that. Could I have done it? So being sort of an adventurous spirit, I decided to take that leap of faith And I've never looked back. I just celebrated my 9th anniversary as a full-time performer last month on October 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know,
yeah.
And exactly, performing and that whole arts is always hesitation for people for some reason, because they think, you know, am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Can I keep it going? You know, and all of that that
yeah.
comes with it, you know, and who's going to pay the travel and making the contracts and everything, because it is, you know, it's a self-employment, and it's really an uncertain field for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for 9 years traveling, I'm going to go with that. When you were a kid, were you a bubble person? You said you did magic. You know, your family was into magic and stuff.
Yeah.
So were you into bubbles at all, or were you one of these kids that's like, as you got older, all of a sudden it became fascination?
After having become the bubble man, I kind of went back over my past memories. Like, I remember playing with bubbles a little bit as a kid, and anytime I saw bubbles, I would try to blow bubbles. I didn't know any tricks. It was just how to blow a bubble. But then I even remember I have a big love of photography, and I remember one day pulling out some ice cubes, some eggs, and blowing bubbles and letting these all sit on the carpet. So think about a ice cube, an egg, and a bubble, like these three different surfaces and the textures. And was just fascinated. And another one was blowing bubbles out in a thistle thicket. So all these prickly purple thistles, and you know, the idea being, will these bubbles survive where everywhere you look are these sharp, pointy purple flowers? And I think about that now as, even then, some sort of little inkling. You know, when I think back to the photography with the egg and the ice cube and the bubbles, you know, at one point during the Bubble Wonder Show now, I turn a bubble into a crystal ball, right? Make a square bubble. I make a white bubble filled with fog. And so there's your ice cube. There's your egg. You know, even back then, I think the seeds are kind of planted in us, you know, like this this pattern, this recipe, this soul's code. And so I think maybe even then some of those images were rising up in me without even knowing how they might manifest further down the road.
So what did you want to do when you were younger? What was the dream and the passion at that point?
Well, there were a couple things. I've always been interested in writing. I always saw myself as a writer, some sort of entertainer. You know, I remember doing magic shows and puppet shows even when I was a little kid. In third grade, I did my first magic show for my classmates. Writing, entertaining. And then I've always been interested in kind of spiritual and self-improvement. Since I was around 12 years old, those ideas have always been exciting to me. And so I think all of those, and film and video too. I do a lot of film and video. I went to school for film and video at Columbia College in Chicago while simultaneously working at a local cable station, where I would go out and help cover sports, you know, local sports, and man the camera. But then it also gave me access to all the cameras and editing equipment, so I would do my own shows after hours and things like that too.
Okay. Well, I can relate to that career of the journalism. We've talked about that before, and we've talked about it on this show, you know, and how that whole field has changed too over the years. I went in the print side, and you had, in fact, I think that was probably one of our first conversations. I don't even know how it started up. It was kind of funny. Oh, you had the video up, and you were showing some of your stuff from back then or whatever. Like, yeah, you know. What we dream, what we think.
Exactly.
You know, and then how it really manifests in the real life, we just never know. And so you get to that crossroads and say, what it sounds more like you even did a what if rather than what if I take this one and what if I take this one without really knowing if this either one pan out.
Yeah,
that's cool. Okay, so where in that point, now we'll work forward from, you know, did the video and it sounds like absolutely love that, still incorporate that into life. But at what point did you say, hey, this is not going to work as a career, so to speak, or at this moment, it that part of me, I've moved beyond that point in my life.
As far as the teaching?
As far as the video piece of it.
Here's the thing. You know, when I went to college, I wasn't looking to get a degree. I just wanted access to information. I wanted to learn about film and video. So I wasn't even going with the thought of graduating with a degree. It's just that Columbia was the place to go if you want to learn about film and video out here in my area. So I just took every class that seemed interesting, and then that class would spark some other interest. In a film tech class, we had to do this. We had to do this short film on 16mm, and I wanted to animate the title of my film. And my PA in that class said, oh, well, my boyfriend works in the animation department. Maybe he could help you out. So I went and talked to him, fell in love with animation, took some animation classes, and then they were just starting up computer animation classes there. So then I started taking that. And then I realized through all of this stuff, both outside working at the cable company, writing film and video classes at Columbia, was you could have the best animation or the most beautiful cinematography, but if you have no story, if there's no heart there, it's, again, just kind of empty entertainment. So then I became fascinated with things like creative writing and fiction writing and poetry and storytelling. Like, how do you tell a story, and how can you make a story impactful and inspiring? So those are the things, again, you know, so inspirational stories, my love for the spirituality and personal development, some highly visual way of telling these things, they've all just sort of coalesced into the bubble show. So the film and video stuff, while I was still playing with it, it just kind of died down a little bit, you know? Okay. And then when the bubble stuff came up, then it was, oh, now I've got this new version of how do you inspire using some creative way. In this case, it was a new medium for me. It was using bubbles to hold people's attention while I'm laying out all these inspirational quotes and these messages about following your dream and having persistence. And so I think the impulse is, it's been the same all along. It's just that the medium has changed.
Okay.
Good.
A little different word for the same thing, in other words. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I just want to let people know again, if they have questions, comments, things they want to the show, or have questions for Jeff, please give us a call. Phone number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. You can put something in the chat room, but I may or may not see it just because trying to keep track of everything else. And at the same time, you can also go over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook, and there is a post pinned to the top that has the picture for the show and a description that you can put that your comments in. And those of you who are listening to the archive can put comments in there after the fact also, but only on Facebook, because the show chat room closes when the show closes down. So we'll see if that gets anybody on the phone lines. So what is next for you? Where do you think this inner child is, or this outer child is going to go? Any idea? Now that you have children, let me back that up just a little bit.
Sure.
So now you have, in your travels, literally in your travels, have met your wife.
Yes.
And you have your children. Mm-hmm. And so does that change anything for you with the kids around? Or
It does and it doesn't. It does in that prior to having children, prior to being married, I was quite the road warrior, especially in the summers. I might work all summer long, every day of the week, doing 2 or 3 performances a day. That's just such a huge, busy time of the year for me. And now that's a little more difficult with a wife and 2 small children. Like, I feel bad leaving. Like, I know this is it. You know, I'm the sole support system for my family. And so, I mean, I have to perform. But it can be really hard leaving sometimes. Oh, don't go, Papa. I'm going to miss you. You know, so I look forward when the kids get a little bit older, when I can take them on the road with me. And sometime we all do travel together and have opportunities where Jen will be performing and I'll be doing some bubble shows, and the kids have been in the show. You know, they've been up, you know, they've come up and volunteered, and Xander more so than Gracie because she's still fairly young. You know, he's been inside the bubble during the show. He's in some of my videos. So, yeah, things are changing. You know, I'm learning. That's kind of my learning curve, my edge right now is how to balance family and purpose. You know, like I feel I am living my purpose, but now it becomes, how do I rebalance that? How do I balance purpose and family in a meaningful way? Because not only am I doing what I'm here to do and living my life purposefully, now I'm setting an example. You know, I'm raising my kids to realize that there is a way to be an entrepreneur. You can do what you love to do. So they've heard the show over and over again. Sometimes they echo back little bits and pieces of the wisdom that I shared during the show. So I'm hoping that growing up with parents that are entertainers and entrepreneurs will rub off on our kids. Another area of development is, well, there's several. The big one for me is doing more and more speaking, taking my experiences as an entrepreneur, taking my experiences as a motivational speaker, and going and talking to organizations. Things like educational conferences, people who would work with children and use my skills as an inspirational speaker and an entertainer to inspire educators, to inspire adults, you know. So doing anything from corporate speaking, working with, say, if I did some stuff for Harley-Davidson and Google and Toyota. And so I think there's a market there, too, to bring in and be kind of a breath of fresh air for some corporate speaking gigs as well, you know, to teach some lesson. And very often it's something that's customized for those clients, and using the bubbles as a way to share that corporation's message with its employees. Another thing is this whole idea of finding your purpose. How do we find our purpose? Do we all have a purpose? These questions have become so powerful for me, having asked and answered and continuing this journey of discovering about my purpose and passion. Now we want to give that back. We want to share that passion and wisdom with others. So, for instance, I'm doing more and more speaking for middle school students to start these conversations with them early, to help them figure out what they really want to do, not what life or TV or the media or advertising tells them they should be, but to ask these deeper questions to help them come to an understanding that's true and authentic to them. And so Jen and I, we call it the Legacy Project. You know, how can we best serve our youth, our adolescents, by asking them these important questions and helping them figure out their life's purpose.
Okay. So right now you're working with the young, the actual age young, and then over the years you have been, let's see, corporate clients including Toyota, Macy's, IBM, Gymboree, Whole Foods, Treehouse TV, as you said, Harley Davidson, National Geographic Channel, and Google. You've been highlighted on the CBS Sunday Morning, the Canadian Children's Television Show. Mm-hmm. This is Isaiah, I think is the name of the show, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you've had your other pieces of it. First of all, how do you cross between that child and the adult and make that, you know, what people typically say a child show into the adult? Mm-hmm. And what has been like the most unusual place or the events that you've performed your shows?
That's a good question. Both of those are very good questions. Going back to how do you make that conversion from what some white might assume is a children's show, I do the same sort of tricks. My personality doesn't change. I'm just being who I am. And so I even start the show quite similarly when I speak to adults. One of my favorite experiences was presenting at the Positive Music Awards, where I was asked to speak and do my bubble show. And that was, you know, the audience was 99% adults. There were a couple of kids that were there. And so I said, you know, when I do my show for the kids, I actually invite the kids to come sit right up close on the floor. And about a third of that adult audience got up out of their chair and sat on the floor like the kids would. You know, and so I think, again, there's something about the show. So it's not just about the bubbles. You know, the bubbles are a way to kind of capture someone's attention. But because I'm doing all these unusual and beautiful and moving things with the bubbles, and I'm sharing these stories and I'm touching lives with, you know, sharing my story, you know, sharing a little bit about my journey and using inspirational messages and quotes and things like that. You know, it's, you know, I get adults that come up all the time with a tear in their eyes saying, and my grandson or my child, they love what you were doing with the bubbles, but I love the message. I'm the one that needed to hear what you had to say today. So it's really touching. It's touching everyone in the audience in different ways. I mean, it's a very funny show. You know, you've seen the show. There's a lot of humor. Because I think when we start laughing, it helps break down some of those barriers that we as adults have, right? So it's another way that it crosses over for an adult audience is I break down the barrier. I'm not trying to come off as this know-it-all magician or I'm going to try to pull something over on you. I'm just very approachable and very open, and I love what I do, and I think that enthusiasm is attractive. I think people like it, and so it's easy to get hooked into the show and play along and watch these bubble tricks unfold. And then again, as I'm folding in all these powerful messages about following your dream and having persistence and not giving up, and it's okay to make mistakes, these are things that I'm basically telling the kids and now the adults the things that I wish I would have heard when I was a child. You know, and I think that resonates. That resonates with adults. Or maybe it's resonating with the child inside of the adult. But whatever it is, it's working. And people are really, really responding to the show. And I think that's why I get calls. You know, somebody might see the show at a library or a museum or a school assembly, and they call and say, would you come and do my 50th birthday? I've performed at birthdays for adults. I've performed at funerals. You know, I've performed at weddings, retirement ceremonies, lots of yoga centers and things like that they're totally into the spiritual aspect of it. So it's such a universal message. Anything is possible. I don't know if we've really touched on that, but that's the core theme of the show. Anything is possible. And to prove it, the running gag throughout the show is, I'm going to try to create a square bubble. That's my dream. And then I go ahead and intentionally fail. because I'm also modeling for the students, for the children and the adults, that it's okay to make mistakes. I like to say it's invaluable for children to see adults make mistakes, but to do so with humor and grace and wisdom and persistence. In other words, I'm not going to let this stop me. So yeah, I play the fool, but it's sort of like the knowing fool. No, I want to see the kids, and I want the kids that laugh at me rather than laugh at themselves or laugh at a volunteer. So I take on that kind of knowing fool. I'd rather them laugh at me because I'm going to keep going. I'll laugh it off and teach them some lessons about what can we learn from the mistake, and then we move forward. And we do. By the end of the show, we figure out a way to make that impossible square bubble.
Right. And even you get the bubbles in the face, just like any other kid would blow in that they just don't work. So, So I'm going to, if you think, since you brought up the anything is possible.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we'd not directly say Jen is a singer-songwriter, which is why she was at the Fozzie Awards that year. And she, like myself and Jillian and Rachel, were really there as newbies.
Yeah.
And since then, Jen has won a couple of awards out of her stuff, out of her music, which is thrilling. And I believe this song was one of them, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You want to give us a little bit background on how this song came to be created?
Sure. I share this right in my performances. The show, there's a couple things that happen in pre-show. I like to set the mood, so I'm playing some of Jen's music in the background, just as people are arriving. I sit down, I play this musical instrument called the halo drum. It's a steel pan instrument, and it's very mystical and wondrous and really kind of helps set the mood. But during the bubble show, when I'm making a couple of mistakes, I reference some of the lyrics from the song. I say, just like the song said at the beginning, stand up, try again, and, you know, you will be unstoppable. Anything is possible. And I say, I love my theme song. It's written and performed by this Canadian singer-songwriter named Jen Hanna. I met her around 7 years ago when we both happened to be on this trip performing in orphanages in Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand. And I heard Jen sing these beautiful songs of hope and inspiration to the children, and I fell in love with her music and her message, and I hired her on the spot to write a song for my bubble show. That's taking action, kids. Anyway, long story short, in February, Jen and I will be celebrating our 5th wedding anniversary. We now have 2 kids of our own, and that song went on to win a Positive Music Award. And so I share that right in the show. I want people to know that just how powerful Jen's music is, how I was touched by her music, and how I hired her to write a song. And as a result of working together and her experiencing what I do with my bubble show and me experiencing, she does with her music what I'm doing with my bubbles. It's all about inspiring people and getting people motivated. A lot of the songs that Jen has written over the years, they can deal with some of life's hardest subjects, but there's always hope at the end. And that's what was so touching for me. I was personally touched. I mean, like, energetically touched listening to this woman sing. The first time I ever heard her sing, I was physically moved, and I had never experienced that before. So I knew there was something there that I wanted to explore. And the very least that I thought I could do was to support that gift. I wanted to hire her and have her create something that powerful for my show, because I thought it would be a perfect marriage. And then, well, long, long, long story short, yeah, working on that stuff together, we realized just how much we had in common and decided that we wanted to join forces.
Cool. And therefore have created Anything Is Possible. And I'm not telling people what the instrument is, but you will find also there is a not commonly used instrument in the song as well. So I'm going to put both of our lines on hold as we, so that if people can listen to this song for the next 3 minutes, and you and Jen have given us permission to play it today.
Yes.
Here we go, folks.
What's your dream that sometimes seems impossible? Let the voice of fate that tell you it's improbable, and hold on to what you love. Hold on to what you dream of, and you will be unstoppable. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Believe. What's your dream that sometimes seems illogical? When you try and fall, your dream can feel intangible, and chin up, try again, stand up, and carry on, and your dream will become visible. Anything is possible.
Jen Hanna with Anything Is Possible, the theme song to the Bubble Wonders show.
Yes.
That Jeff does around the world. Cool. I found myself singing along with that as usual. That's so catchy tune.
Oh, it was a fun memory. One of the times that you came out to the performance at the zoo, where you were teaching the audience how to sign the lyrics to the song. That was really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun. Fun to be part of that. Yeah. Because I guess I am looking too. Anything is possible. Yeah, sometimes we get detoured and led astray, but, you know, ultimately I'm trying to realize in my own life that we're always where we're supposed to be. We may not just think that, but somehow, you know, and if we just set it up, you know, even what our dream is, that, you know, we picture it one way.
Right.
And that doesn't mean it's going to be that way. That's right. The funny part. And it's still going to be possible, even if it shows up differently.
Right.
You know, with a different picture. So that's one of the things I'm working on these days. So one of your favorite quotes that you told me was,
Yeah.
Howard Thurman quote.
Yes.
Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive.
Yes.
So why does that draw you in? And at what point do you think people really can start looking at their own purpose? What age, what background, what would cause, yeah, when can that success start coming from each person?
I think it's going to depend on the individual. The more research I do on this idea of purpose, I would say the majority of people say you have to live some life before you discover your purpose. You know, they're saying you probably want to be in your 30s or 40s or older before life has kind of revealed your purpose to you. I believe that's true, but I also believe it depends on the individual. I think especially people who have had some very trying experiences, you know, or they've been through the crucible, they've been through the dark night of the soul at an early age, you've gained certain experiences and skills earlier. And so maybe purpose will be revealed to you. Part of it is your intention too. Like, how bad do you really want to discover this? You know, my story was, I was probably in my 30s and was working just a mind-numbing job. I was working on third shift at a factory, and I just said, there's got to be more to life than this. Just working at a dead-end job just to afford the ability to pay rent in order to go back to work again the next day and do the same mind-numbing thing over and over and over again. And so I was going to college at Columbia, as I mentioned before, and I was taking a course called Mystical Consciousness, East Meets West, and we were using, as one of the textbooks, we were using Wayne Dyer's book, Manifest Your Destiny. And his premise was basically there's a way that you could prepare yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually to manifest whatever it is that you wanted. And so I started putting into the practice these methods and exercises that he lays out in the book. And the main thing that I wanted to know was, why am I here? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Why was I born? And through asking that and doing those meditations for a year, I was rewarded with a dream that happens when you're sleeping and a dream comes to you. And it led me into teaching, which I'd always been interested in. And then from teaching, you know, I went into special education. It was in that special education room that I had the experience with the boy and the bubbles and saw the potential for that. So life was constantly revealing to me a little bit more of my purpose. But the truth is, when I look back on all of this, I realize that there were little hints along the way. James Hillman calls it the soul's code. Like, there's experiences that we have. I think we're born knowing something about why we're here. And then we forget along the way, or it's taught out of us, or we no longer believe it's possible for us. We somehow forget or are discouraged along the way. So I was on fire. I had to know. Like, that was the only thing I wanted to know, was why am I here? Like, I needed meaning. I didn't want my life to be meaningless. And so my intention was white hot. It was very intense. And so I have to couple that with what I heard somebody say is, be careful what you ask for, because you might just get it. You know, this idea of when we're passionate like that and we're dead set on asking that question, why am I here? What's my purpose? I believe life will then lift us up from where we are and help put us where we need to be regardless of how that might upset your current situation. You know, I had been married one time before, and moving in the direction of my purpose kind of shook up my life. You know, I ended up leaving a job. I ended my marriage. Some friendships had to fall to the wayside. Things really took a nosedive. But again, looking back, you know, hindsight being 2020, I realized that all those things were necessary, that things had been stagnating in many levels and many areas in my life. And so most of those changes were necessary in order that I could kind of start fresh again. And that became sort of a rite of passage for me, this hero's journey, if you will, about, you know, in this case, the hero's journey for me was the journey to who I am. What was my purpose? What will bring meaning to my life, which is what I so wanted, you know? And part of the hero's journey is this kind of descent into the dark night of the soul. I mean, I was brought to my knees. I had contemplated suicide. I had lost so much, family and relationship, my job, my home. You know, I realized I couldn't do it. I didn't have what it took. I didn't have the wisdom. Anything I had, anything I tried wasn't enough. I had to sort of turn it over. I had to let go and allow myself to be guided. And that was scary. You know, that's ultimate. That was surrender. You know, like you said, you might have an idea and it might not always be the way you think it's going to be. Jen has a beautiful song about that called Letting Go. Letting go of the preconception about what you think it's going to be and just holding on to the core essence, the truth of it, which is, I know I'm here for a purpose. I know it's going to be something meaningful to me. And very often it's going to be even greater than we could ever imagine. And that certainly is what happened in my case. I never in a million years would have thought I'd be making a living blowing bubbles. You know, if you had told me that as a young man, I would have laughed you off, you know, laughed at you.
And it just, that is so cool. That is so cool. So I think one of the things that I did hear out of what you said was that, you know, we shouldn't squash these dreams of kids because, just like they seem to have more vivid dreams than we do as adults.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I think some of that is, some of them are scary and we get that, but they do see a whole lot more in their dreams. And yet they're kind of like shut down because, you know, people can't see that in their dreams because we don't remember that anymore sometimes.
Right.
As we get older. You know, or they have these, you know, some people believe they see the angels more around them than we do. And that, again, that gets squashed for whatever reason, whatever they, or they know that, you know, something's going to happen. So they don't go in that room. And, you know, we don't recognize that a lot of times. It's just, them being scared. You know,
right.
So I think all of this of, you know, if they love doing something as a kid, cultivate that.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, whether it's boy toys, girl toys, whatever, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just let them go because what may seem to us like one gender, one path, again, probably will not stay that way. But it might lead to something really, really wonderful in the end for them.
Yeah.
And then ultimately being much happier.
Yeah, well, again, it's like it's planting these seeds, just like my love of, you know, writing and entertaining and magic and teaching spirituality and personal development, they all took on different forms all along the way. But if I had squashed any of that, I wouldn't have had, there'd be some missing element to where I am now. So that's why I love about that quote. Don't ask what the world needs, right? Because people think I've got to figure out what I can sell. And I don't think that's the answer. We have to be true to ourselves. When we're being authentic, we light up in a certain way. That's what I share with the middle schoolers too. You know, I've just told my story about how Jen and I met, how I hired her, and now we're married. We have two kids. And I say, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but answer this question in your head. Do I want to have some kind of relationship, meaningful relationship with another person sometime in my life? And if the answer is yes, all the more reason to figure out what you truly love to do and go and do that. Because when we do what we love to do, when we follow our passion, when we follow our purpose, we light up in a certain way because we're being totally real. We're being totally authentic. And people sense that excitement about us. And so you will draw to you, you will meet the people who get you and want to be around you because they see that you're being real. You're not putting up some sort of front. You're not trying to be what you think you're supposed to be cool or to fit in. You're being authentic. And so you will meet the people that resonate at that level with you. You know, and I share my example of how Jen and I met, right? So again, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you, you personally, come alive. And then do it. Do it. Do whatever it is. And the more, all the more reason to do this while we're young, right? When you're young enough, do whatever you love to do, because then you get really good at it. You know, they talk about the 10,000 hours it takes to do whatever it is that you love to do to become a master of it. And when you become a master of something, then there's always going to be somebody interested in those sorts of things. And if you're a master of it, you've got something that you could present. Now you've got something you can offer to the world because you're really, really good at whatever it is that you do. You know, what the world needs is people who have come alive.
Right. Well, and one of the comments in the chat room is exactly, isn't that part of giving the world what it really needs?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Really the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, just as you said it. So it's like, when we go back, of course, the song, music always pops in my head, you know. You know, what the world needs now is love. Well, you know, it isn't just a romantic love or relationship. It's a love of what you do.
Yeah.
Well, and what's around you.
And I say that right to the kids in the show, you know, do what you love. Do what you love, you know. Some people may never understand your dream, but that's okay. Don't let that stop you. It's not meant for them, so they're not going to understand it. It's meant for you. You know? You have to follow your dream. Do what you love. Do what you love. It's so powerful. I was doing a school assembly a while back. I had finished the assembly. I was breaking down the show, and I was talking to the principal, and all of a sudden this girl came back. She introduced herself, said her name was Harley, and she just wanted to say that she thought I really did a good show today. And she gave me a hug, and she walked out of the gym. This principal and I just smiled at each other like, what was that? And I said, that really must have taken some courage, okay? I mean, she'd already made it back to class, so then she had to get up the guts to ask her teacher, can I go back to the gym? I want to talk to the bubble man. So, I mean, it took something in that child to ask teacher and then to come and approach me again after the show like that. You know something is connecting. You know that message is getting through when it elicits that sort of courage from a child. You know? I mean, the whole show culminates with that question, you know, what's your dream? What impossible things are you going to do? What's your square bubble? You know, follow that dream. You know, so this idea of can you figure out your purpose when you're 16 or 26 or 36, that's going to be answered by the individual. But But by following our dreams, by coming alive, by doing the things we love, I think we're honing those skills and we're aligning ourselves with the inevitable meeting with our destiny and our purpose. And if we've done that along the way, then we've built up some mastery, we've built up some skill, we've built up some passion and some persistence. So we've helped develop a personality and an environment that will allow us to go forward once our purpose is revealed to us. Because then, by then, we've trusted the process. So taking those leaps of faith become easier and easier, because every time we reach out, step out of that bubble of comfort zone, that's where the growth takes place. And it's sort of like exercising a muscle. The more we take those little chances, the more we trust that doing what we love to do will lead us to the next thing that we need to do. That all builds up a certain strength that will come in handy once we discover and start working daily, living from that purpose.
Okay, I'll admit to one of those adults that get a little teary-eyed at your shows, because you just did it again. And I'm just going to say thank you. You know, I don't do this show always for somebody else. There are oftentimes that I do it for myself, and I admit that. And this is one of them. We haven't talked in a while, but I put on this show, too, that I'm at a crossroads of my own. And so, you know, hearing that from you, says, yeah, you know, at what point do I give up one piece to be able to find what that next step is, and go out on that limb and on that faith and say that, you know, all these things that have been part of the process and part of the lessons all this time,
yeah,
are not going to be left behind. They're going to be part of the next step in the journey, whatever that might mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. So what is next for you? What are your next plans, goals, dreams? Oh, I'm sorry. There's one part I didn't touch on. You're also, as you said, a writer. You've got a couple of books out there as well. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I've been featuring a couple different anthologies where somebody had heard a little bit about my story, whether it was the story about how it all started with an encounter with a child with special needs. And so they said, well, tell us more about that. They were just so fascinated by the stories. And so I started writing up some of my experiences, and they've been included in a couple books. The first one was Wake Up. Called Empowered, Wake Up, Live the Life You're Meant to Live. And then someone else had heard that story somewhere and asked me to be in an anthology called GPS for Success, where I shared a little bit more about what's happened over the years as a result of taking that leap of faith to becoming a full-time speaker, performer, and sharing those messages of purpose and passion and possibility with children and the inner child of the adults that I come in contact with. Somebody else loved what I was doing and featured me in a bubble kit, a little book and bubble kit called The Art and Science of Bubbles, basically saying that there's been bubble performers and people that work with bubbles as long as there's been bubbles, and they kind of said that what I'm doing is totally unique. You know, it's kind of like the next stage in bubbleology is somebody who's using bubbles to inspire people. And that's what I want to continue to do. You know, I have these ideas, these notions of things that I love to do. You know, right now it's talking more and more with middle schoolers and young adults. I at one point wanted to create some system to teach people how to do what I did, not necessarily become an entertainer, but how to ask the questions and get to a point where they could figure out what was most meaningful to them. And then I realized, oh, wait, I probably don't have to reinvent the wheel. I wonder if somebody else has already developed some sort of system. And I was introduced to the work of Marsha Weider and Dream University. She has a whole curriculum laid out about how you can, it's basically called dream coaching. And so I took all of her certification programs. I've become a certified dream coach and certified inspirational speaker using her methods and materials. And Jen is a certified passion test coordinator where she can take people through the passion test process, which helps you get very, very clear on what your top priorities are in life. And once we know that, it becomes invaluable, because then when an opportunity comes along, you kind of weigh the opportunity versus what your priority are, or what your priorities are, in order that you can figure out, oh, is this in line with what I want to do, or is it something that would be distracting me from where I really need to be? And so we're working on using those talents and those questions and that wisdom material in order to work with both students and adults to help them figure out what their purpose is.
Kids are going to be set when they get, either they're going to be tired of it, or they're going to be doing anything and everything they want to be as they're growing up. No, which maybe a little bold. That's so cool. Okay. So there's two more pieces. One is, how do people get a hold of you?
You can find me via my website, which is Bubble Wonders. It's the name of the show. It's the name of my website, Facebook page, and all that. Bubble Wonders. And, yeah, you can find me at Bubble Wonders and Bubble Wonders on Facebook. That's the easiest way. Bubble Wonders.
Are you a .com, .org, .everything?
.com. Yeah, .com. The kids over the years have given me all these little nicknames. No one calls me by my real name. Everybody calls me Bubble Man or Mr. Bubbles. One kid called me Bubble One Kenobi. My favorite name was given to me by three students. They came up after the assembly. I was on tour down in Texas, and they said, we have a new name for you. I said, what's my new name? And they said, we're going to call you the Bubble Master. So now every time a kid gives me a name, whether I've heard that name from another child or not, I thank them. This whole notion of accepting whatever a child has to offer. And then I go and I buy that domain name. So I point all those domain names to Bubble Wonders.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anything that you wanted to cover that we did not? Before we leave people with an affirmation for the week.
No, I think that's it. We touched on so much today, and thank you. And for those of you listening, you know, again, letting go. I know that we had some technical difficulties, but if you're listening, I'm grateful that you stuck it out. You persisted, and you got to the good stuff, even though you had to fight for a little bit. To get to it, because I mean that's a perfect example of the way life happens to us, right? Sometimes
exactly.
We struggle a little bit, and then that struggle on the other side is the good stuff. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn, or after the rain, the rainbow. So thank you for sticking out and listening.
Exactly, thank you, folks. Okay, and I like leaving folks with an affirmation.
Yes.
Actually, somebody just popped on here, and I'm going to give them one last shot if she wants to call in.
Sure.
I see somebody's like liking everything all over. Again, the phone number is 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074, because maybe she's been listening along the way and just hasn't had a chance to call in, but it'll be the last shot here, folks, if you want to call in. And like I said, I'd like to leave the folks with an affirmation. Was there one that you wanted to give us this week? Okay.
Yes, this is the affirmation that I used all those years ago when I was doing the work with trying to figure out what my purpose was. You know, I was always taught, you know, you create an affirmation that states something in the positive and as if it's already happened. And so the one that I came up with that was personally meaningful and kind of hit all the highlights for me for a perfect affirmation goes as follows. I am living a life of purpose. I creatively express myself from the heart, using my unique talent and God-given gifts in joyful service to others.
I'm going to have you say that one more time.
Of course. And I would say this over and over again in my meditations. Yeah, I just embodied it, believed it, and now I'm living it. Here it is again. I am living a life of purpose. I creatively express myself from the heart, using my unique talents and God-given gifts in joyful service to others.
Excellent. And that is on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat room. Comment also underneath the picture from today's show. Graphic. Great. Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your wisdom and your sharing with folks again how you came to find your purpose and to share it with the world.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was an honor.
Well, anyway. Okay. And I'm sure we will be in touch again via Facebook or whatever very soon.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks. I'll put you back on hold to wrap up the end of the show then. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Jeff Akins-Hanna. I should have asked you. I also want to pop him back on here. Hang on, I'm going to pop you back on. Hopefully you're still there. Because I'm going to... Are you still there, Jeff?
I am.
I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit. You did something non-traditional also when you got married.
What's that?
And I would like to touch on this, just for the heck of it. I'm putting you a little bit on the spot here.
Okay.
You took your wife's last name as opposed to... Yes. Your wife taking your name.
Yeah.
You were both in the entertainment field. I'm curious how that came to be.
Well, we did a couple things, you know, because she's a performer and I'm a performer. We were trying to realize, well, I don't know. It's like, what do we do? Do you want my name? I'm really not tied to my name because it was a stepfather's name and it doesn't have any meaning for me. So I was okay with the idea of changing it. At one point we thought, well, let's ditch both our last names and let's take on a new last name. So we're pouring through all these name books, like baby books, trying to find a name with some kind of meaning that would be in alignment with who we felt we were and what we were going to do in the world. And we just couldn't find anything that fits. And then finally she wondered, well, I wonder what Hannah, my last name Hannah, means. And it meant something like favored by God. And we're like, ooh. We thought, we're not changing anything. I'm just going to add that to my name too.
There you go. Cool. Like I said, I totally forgot about until I was starting to say the whole name again. I went, oh wait, that's right, when I first met you. Yeah. So alright, cool. Not to put you on the spot, but kind of put you on the spot, like I said, because, you know, again, non-traditional things and not necessarily what folks would expect doesn't make it right or wrong. It just makes it just a little different.
Yeah, there's always a story behind it.
Right. Okay, put you back to hold. Thanks. All right. And Jeff's story, again, traveling through life, you know, from working in a factory to becoming a teacher, a special education teacher, to now traveling the world, sharing not only pieces of unusual bubble performances, but stories that come behind it, and teaching the lesson that anything is possible, as his now wife, Jen Hanna, had created in the song, Anything is Possible, which we played earlier on the show as well. And that is true. Anything possible when we put our mind to it, when we think and focus on what that purpose is. Taking just a little picture at a time, little piece of it, and putting it into either our memory banks or some people put it up on a wall. Whatever it takes to be able to draw that picture and find ultimately what your purpose, your meaning is for your life and your life as you share it into the world. Every week we come to you and bring people who are living their purpose from what may seem small to some, to what may seem extravagant to others. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are doing in any given moment, we believe is your purpose, your destiny of what you are to be doing at that time, in that place, and in this space. We hope that that can grow and change with each of the lessons that you learn from all of our guests today, such as Jeff, and all that we've had in the past and will in the future. We air every Friday, at least at this point still, Friday afternoons, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. If you wish to listen to this show again, you can at the same link where you picked it up the first time. Any archived comments are welcome in the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. If you have some questions over there, also for Jeff, feel free to put those in there, as he's tagged in that, and he should be able to get those questions. He talked about, you know, finding that child in all of us, and even at the very beginning of children, the lives of children, cultivating what they may want to share and who they are, and not squashing those dreams, those things that may seem unusual just because they are unusual, because there is magic of sorts in all of us. There is that bubble that wells up and comes from our very gut, wells up through our heart, through our spirit, and into our mind. If we let it grow, if we let it expand, ultimately we can find out who we are. And don't let anyone pop your bubble, ever. Keep that dream alive. Do what you need to do to follow that bubble floating through you as a person and out into the world as you share your dream and your purpose. Thank you all for listening to us. The theme song for Purpose Talk Radio is, we actually have two of them. One is the positive news song that continues to promote in this world. As Jeff said too, he was in the a little more of the video part of the news. I was in the print part. For me, I needed something more than what typically people see and hear. And then the other final closing song is I Am Who I Am by True Trinity. The first positive news is by myself and Jillian Clark. The other is by Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. And I will play both of them as we go out. And I wish you all, as you go through your week, through your life, and through your purpose, I wish you all soul blessing. Thanks for listening.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. We'll be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.